13. Miller sat in a different rental car, parked in the same parking spot, glaring sideways at the entrance of the luxurious Rothschild building across the street. The building was directly in front of him. He needed to look at it sideways because he'd resorted to exhaling directly out of the open driver's side window to keep the windshield from completely fogging over. The plan worked, in that the driver's side of the windshield had only partially fogged over. The passenger side door opened and his partner Murphy slid into the car, shaking his head. He tossed a banana back over his shoulder. It landed on a pile of bananas that covered most of the back seat. Swapping out the rental agency's cheapest, most run-down car for their second-cheapest, second-most run-down car did nothing to stem the banana tide. Murphy had started checking the exhaust pipe every 10 minutes or so, and found a new one there every time he checked. Miller suspected that the bananas replaced themselves a minute or two after one was removed, and told Murphy as much. But Murphy still insisted on checking, trying to see how many bananas he could collect by the end of the day. Murphy said,
"At least we won't be hurting for snacks."
Miller glared at him.
"Seriously, though,"
Murphy said, picking his laptop up from the car's floor and placing it in his lap.
"We should swing by a homeless shelter at some point and donate all these bananas. Some good might as well come of this."
"Really? You think anybody'd want to eat our magic tailpipe bananas?"
"Not if we call them that."
Miller shook his head.
"Why won't they let us move in? Sadler's a known fugitive. It's not like we're going to learn anything from watching him. He's obviously on to us. He's not going to show us anything he doesn't want us to see. This is pointless."
"Probably they figure that if we move in, he'll just get away. And then we'll have to track him down again. But if you and I keep watching him and he keeps messing with us, at least we still know where he is."
"Yeah," Miller said. "That's probably it."
"I think so."
"It's completely unfair to us and insulting."
"That's why it rings so true."
Miller leaned forward, his eyes wide and his mouth contorted into what an observer might have mistaken for a smile. In fact, he was baring his teeth.
"He's on the move."
Murphy squinted through the windshield, but his side was fogged in completely. He gave up, said,
"Fine, I'll go get the banana,"
and again stepped out of the car. Miller watched, almost salivating, as Jimmy Sadler made small talk with the doorman. Instead of his usual dark sport coat and khakis, Jimmy wore a red nylon windbreaker with an ad for some place called Sporto's Tavern and Slot Emporium silkscreened on the back. He and the doorman shared a laugh, then Jimmy stepped out onto the sidewalk, and instead of turning left to go to the parking lot, turned right and started walking down the street. Murphy stepped back into the car.
"There wasn't a new one yet. We're good to go, if we must."
"We must,"
Miller said, starting the car. He turned on the left turn indicator and started frantically head-checking, looking for any opportunity to get across the near lane of traffic and into the far lane, headed the same direction as Jimmy.
"What are you doing?"
Murphy asked, peering through a clear spot he'd wiped in the condensation on the windshield.
"Why the left?"
"He didn't go to his car. I think he's trying to throw us off. That's why he's dressed so weird."
"I see what you mean about the outfit. But we don't know yet if he's going to the car or not."
"What? You think he's going to walk all the way around the block?"
"Miller, what are you talking about? He's walking toward his car."
Miller kept his eyes glued to Jimmy, who was still walking away from the building in the opposite direction from the parking lot.
"I'm looking at him right here, and he's not anywhere near his car."
"No," Murphy said. "You're looking at the wrong guy. I've got him, and he's not walking very fast, but he's headed toward the parking lot. Here, look."
Miller whipped his head to the left and the right, looking for holes in the traffic in both directions and trying to keep an eye on Jimmy.
"No, Murph, I gotta drive the car and keep track of Sadler. Would you please get with the program? He's almost to the corner."
"No, he's almost to the parking lot, and he's acting weird. I'm not taking my eyes off of him."
Miller thought he saw a hole in the far lane. As he swiveled his head to look at the oncoming traffic, his eyes cast over a figure wearing a denim jacket, flannel shirt, and skinny jeans, in a slightly different shade of denim than the jacket. Miller did a double take, but on the second look, he couldn't deny it was Jimmy. He looked back to the first person he thought was Jimmy, and saw Jimmy wearing his tavern jacket and lighting a cigarette as he waited for the light to change. He was sure it was Jimmy. He looked back to the guy in the Canadian tuxedo and was convinced that it was also Jimmy. Murphy said,
"What the hell? There's There's another Jimmy.
Yeah, Miller said. The one I saw.
No, further down, a third Jimmy.
Jimmy came strutting up the sidewalk, wearing a puffy green insulated vest and cargo pants. He and the Jimmy in the denim nodded hello as they passed each other. Miller gasped,
What the hell?
The car sputtered and died. Neither of the agents cared. As the Jimmy in the puffy vest walked past the condo building entrance, the door opened. The doorman stepped out. Despite being several inches shorter and 50 pounds heavier than Jimmy, he had Jimmy's face. He held the door open. A young woman pushing a stroller stepped out. She wore a sweater dress, leggings, and a scarf, and had Jimmy's face, complete with his hair and chin beard. She and the doorman with Jimmy's face smiled broadly as they made small talk. Then the woman reached into the stroller and pulled out a baby with Jimmy's face for the doorman with Jimmy's face to coo at. Miller and Murphy watched this, their faces slack with awe and disgust. Miller became aware of someone standing just outside his rolled-down driver's side window. He turned to see a girl, he'd have guessed about 12 years old, in a puffy pink jacket and a t-shirt with a picture of a unicorn on it. Her blonde hair was held in twin ponytails with plastic rainbow-colored barrettes. And she had Jimmy's face.
Mister?
She said in her little girl voice. She held up a soot-stained banana.
Looks like you fell for the banana in the tailpipe.